We're on Daf Kuf Hey Yomid Aleph. We'll start the Sugya of Bai Rava. Let's see if we can find it. It's like middle of the Daf. First word in the line is Shava Pruta. Bai Rava. Gazal Shtei Agudos Bepruta. So he stole an object that is made up of two different items. Each item itself is worth half a pruta. But together, if you look at the Maisa Gzela as a whole, then he stole an entire pruta's worth. Okay, then, so he's chayv in Ashova because he stole a Shova pruta. But hechzir lo achas mehen. Now, instead of returning both of the agudos, both of these bundles at the same time, he returned one of the bundles. Now he's left with something in his hand that he stole, but it's not worth the pruta. Mau, what's the din in this case? Mi amrinon, the Gemara analyzes the suffix of Rava. Shall we say he doesn't have to return the other aguda, hashta leka gzela? He doesn't have a gzela. Gzela means dafka, if it's what? If it's a shove from a pruta. O dilma, or should we go back to the maisa gzela? At the time of the maisa gzela, he stole a full pruta's worth. Holo hadar gzela dahavi davoy gabe. And he did not return the gzela that he had stolen. In other words, at this particular moment of Gzela, if we pinpoint the moment of Gzela, then he was Chayv in Ashova. The fact that he only returned one Aguda, that doesn't alleviate him from his responsibility and his obligation to return the other Aguda, because the Chayv Ashova is set in stone at what moment? What's the key? At the moment of the Gzela. We know that already. Which halacha, which principle have we already learned more than once that the moment of the gzela fixes the hashava in place? Because the halacha is that if it goes down in value, how much does he pay? He pays kishas hagzela. So you see that the chiv hashava is determined not by today, but by the moment of the gzela. So since the chiv hashava was on a pruta because he stole two agudos, then he hasn't fulfilled his chiv hashava. Hodar pashte. And now, after Rava raised the question, he came to a final conclusion, and he said the following: gzela ein kan, hashava ein kan. In other words, gzela means the object. The object itself is not worth a pruta, so he's not left with a shava pruta. If he's not left with a shava pruta, then you can't apply the principle of heshavas hagzela sher gazal. Meaning, as far as the maisa hashava right now, the only hashava he can do is on something which is not called gzela, because gzela, as we said before, requires that it be a minimum of what? Of shava pruta. So in other words, if he doesn't have a gzela biyado, then he doesn't have a possibility of hashava, because the Torah says ve'eshiv is like gzela asher gozal. So oddly enough, the Rava's final maskana here is that the determining factor here is not the maisa gavra, but the chefta. Meaning, if you look at the maisa gavra at the time of the gzela was on a shava pruta, because he stole two agudos, the sum total of which is worth how much? A pruta. So if we look at the maisa gzela itself, then that certainly is mechayv mashava both on the first aguda that he gave back and now on the second aguda that he gave back. However, the Gemara says that we're not going to look at the maisa gzela, but we're going to look at the chefta, the object that's being returned. That's called gzela in the Lashon HaShas. And the gzela itself is not a shava pruta. Why? Because he's holding on to what now?
One aguda.
One aguda. Is that an aguda? Does it qualify as a gzela? Again, if I assume my definition that gzela means shava pruta, no. So forget about the Asher Gozal at the end of the pasuk. But look at the word before Asher Gozal. What's the word before Asher Gozal? Veishivisa'zel. So if we take this pasuk and we split it into two parts, we have, with regard to Hashava, two different variables, two different elements. We have the element of Veheshiv Esha Gzela, which means that there's a Hashava on what? On a Shava Pruta. But on the other hand, it's Asher Gozal, which goes back to what? To the Maisa Gzela. And at this point, Rava puts all the emphasis, Lamaskana, on what? On not the Asher Gozal, but on the word. On the word gzela, right? Veheshiv es ha gzela. So the subject of hashava is the heftu, which is called gzela. And now he doesn't have a gzela, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah of veheshiv es ha gzela. Forget about the asher gazal. Now, I'm not sure what's going on over here. I mean, maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but already, even before I see the next piece of Gemara, my mind is already wandering over here. I mean, it's very interesting. If you talk about the fulfillment of the pasuk veheshiv es hagzela as a mitzvah, now you might find it a little bit strange. You might find it a little bit strange, a little bit uncomfortable to assume that returning a lost object is a mitzvah. Like for example, I was just imagining, would he go to mikveh and say hinini muchen mezuman, you know, b'dechilu b'chiru, you know, l'shem shchinta b'richu, and he should make a bracha and I'll think, you know, it's a religious act. So that might sound a little strange to our ears to speak about a chiyuv hashava as a mitzvah, but I'll tell you why it's not so strange to me, at least, because I learned Masechta Makis, and in the third Perek of Masechta Makis, we have a concept called Olav Hanitak Le'ese, which means that if after I violate a certain law, the Torah commands me to fulfill a certain mitzvah, and that mitzvah is generated by the Averis Olav, it's actually a tikkun on the law, in a sense it's undoing what I did, then the Gemara says that because of that mitzvah, the law changes into Olav Hanitak Le'ese. And therefore, you don't get what? You don't get malchus for the averis halav. For example, the classical case of a lav anita klase, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but just to mention it, is the case of shalach to shalach esaim. So, for example, he took the mother that was hovering over the fledgling birds, and he violated the lav of lotikach esaim alabonim. But then the Torah says shalach to shalach to shalach esaim. That at that moment you have to send away the mother bird. So the Gemara says that when he takes the mother, he does not violate a what's called a lav shenita l'malchus. That's even though they gave him asra before he did that, he would not incur a chiv malchus. Why? Because the Torah says to him now v'shilach haseim, now fulfill a mitzvah seh. And in that sugya, which if you ever want to look it up, it's a fascinating sugya. It's on Daf Tes Vav in Masechta Makis. Nice thing about Makis is that it's a Masechta that you can actually finish. I made a Siyum twice in my life. The two Masechtas, I shouldn't say two Masechtas, because both Siyum are on the same Masechta. But it was two different parts of my life. Because when I lost my father, I wanted to invite my students to my house for Purim that year, and I was in Orville. So my Rosh Hashiva told me that I can only do so if I make a Siyum. So I learned Masechta Makis. Now, Makis is a Masechta that you can learn over the course of a year, or you can learn it very quickly. I think I told you the story about my father with his friend Chaim Zimmerman. So they were walking on the boardwalk in Coney Island Avenue. This is only for Brooklynites. Anyway, it was during the 9 days. So Chaim says to my father, he called him Berlev, he says, Berlev, go buy a salami. Because in those days, the boardwalk was full of, you know, Jewish geschäft, and, you know, they sold deli and stuff like that. So my father looked at Chaim like he was crazy, because Chaim was crazy, and he said, how could I buy a salami to 9 days? So Chaim said, just buy the salami, don't ask questions. So they bought the salami, they sat down on the beach, and Chaim pulls out a Gemara Makis, and they learned the entire Masechta Makis in an hour and a half, and then they ate the salami. But it took me a year to learn Makis. But anyway, Makis is only 24 blocks, actually 23 and a half, so you can learn Makis. So the Gemara gives a classic example over there of a lav hanita klase for which you don't get malchus, and that's the lav of gzela, because the Torah says veheshiv is like gzela shem gozal. Yeah. So my mind is thinking, again, before I see the next line in the Gemara, that what the Gemara means to say here in the name of Rava, his final conclusion was that we should split the Chiyuv Hashav into two variables, or to two dimensions. There's one dimension of Chiyuv Hashav as a Chiyuv Mama. As a Chiyuv Mama, the Torah says, Asher Gazal, which means we go back to the Shasak Zela, and if at the time of the Zela he stole a Shava Pruta, then as far as Didi Mamanis is concerned, he certainly has to, he has a chiv Maman, I would say, to return the Gzela. Right. And the fact that he returned half the Gzela doesn't mean that therefore he exonerates himself from his responsibility to return the other half of the Gzela. It doesn't make any sense. Where, in what context, does the Gemara quote the Pasuk Gzela, right? The Heshev is HaGzela. That's in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah Hashavah. In other words, what the Gemara means now, says Rava, we're no longer talking about the Chiyuv Mamon, which is certainly set in stone by the Shas Gzela. We're talking about the Chiyuv Hashav of the Torah's Mitzvah, you know, where he goes to Mikvah and he says in Imuchan, for that, he doesn't have a Gzela in his hand. Why doesn't he have a Gzela in his hand? Because what defines a Gzela, it has to be a minimum of a Shava Pruta. So let's see if we can work this into the Gemara. That's what I'm going to try to. I have an agenda here today. I want to see if I can possibly, weave this into the Gemara. The Gemara says, "E gzela enkan, hashava yeshkan." So I don't know exactly how to read this. Do you read it with a statement or with a question mark? How do you have it, David? You have the English translation. Do you have it with a question mark?
Question.
Oh, good, good. I want to read with a question. The Masifta reads it with a period, not with a question. Well, I'm chilek on the Masif, and if I have arts girl to support me, then that makes me very excited, right? So I don't know what that means. He's basically copping out. He doesn't know whether it's a question mark or it's a period. But I think what the Gemara is saying is over here is, what are you telling me here? You're telling me that because there's no gzela, right? Because if you're saying gzela enkan, therefore, you want to tell me that Hashava Enkan. You know, that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara is saying, I Gzela Enkan, Hashava Yeshkan. In other words, what the Gemara is arguing now is that you've already established that there's no Gzela. So now what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that he's now potter from his mitzvah of Hashava? That doesn't make any sense, because what are you telling me? You're telling me that he fulfilled his mitzvah Hashava? How did he fulfill his mitzvah Hashava?
On the stuff he gave back before.
Oh, so that's, I think, what the Gemara is actually trying to iron out over here. On the one hand, he gave a single aguda on the first round, and you might suggest that that itself is a kiyum of mitzvah Hashava. So the Gemara is saying, no, you're telling me now that there's no mitzvah Hashava on the second aguda. And why? Because it's not Zela. So when did he fulfill his chiyuv Hashava? By process of elimination, you're going to tell me he fulfilled his chiyuv Hashava with the first aguda. But to the same extent, if you want to be consistent, that you deny him the chiyuv Hashava, the mitzvah Hashava on the second aguda, we should apply that logically to the first aguda. So how can you tell me that he fulfilled his mitzvah Hashava with the first aguda? In other words, the Gemara is operating with the following premise. I don't know why the Gemara, who revealed this premise to the Gemara. What's the premise of the Gemara? The Gemara thinks that if Rava is alleviating the Gana of the Gazlan of his Chiyuv Hashava because he's only left with something that doesn't constitute a Gzela, it's less than a Shava Pruta, then the Gemara ipso facto believes that he already fulfilled his Chiyuv Hashava. Again, the Gemara is going to reject this in just a second, but let's understand the premise of the Hava Mina. What the Gemara thinks is that Rav is involved in a contradiction in terms here. He's not applying his principles consistently. He's telling us that there's no mitzvah Hashava vis-a-vis the second aguda because it's not a Gzela. If that be the case, then he must be assuming, in the Gemara's Havamina, that he already fulfilled his Chiyuv Hashava. You can't say that the Chiyuv Hashava just evaporates into thin air simply because he decided to give back the Agudos piecemeal, one after the other. The Mitzvah Hashava is still imposed upon him. Now you're telling me that he doesn't have a Chiyuv Hashava on the second Aguda. Why? then you must assume that he fulfilled the Schiv Hashem with the first Aguda. But by the same token, by the same logic and principles, that he didn't fulfill, he couldn't fulfill the Schiv Hashem with regard to the second Aguda, then you have to undermine his Chiyuv HaShavah and his Kiyum of the Mitzvah HaShavah with regard to the first Pruta.
Are you assuming the first Aguda was less than a Pruta?
Yeah. No. Again, that's not my assumption. In other words, the Gemara is talking about a case, that's simply the scenario. When I use the word assumption, I mean some sort of a conceptual assumption.
Yeah.
My conceptual assumption is that if Rava alleviates him from the Chiyuv and the Mitzvah HaShavah vis-a-vis the second Aguda, then it must be that he fulfilled his Chiyuv HaShavah with the first Aguda. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the first Aguda and the second Aguda? Hachi Kamar. Ah, the Gemara says, you misunderstood Rava. Afal Pi, what Rava was saying is, Afal Pi Shegzela Enka, in other words, Gzela meaning the Mama, the Chefta of the Aguda, does not qualify as what? As a Gzela, correct? Because it doesn't have a Shava Pruta. And therefore, what are you going to tell me? That there is no mitzvah of Hashava? Mitzvah Hashava Enkan. Oh, what it means is the following. That Rava was introducing another variable into the equation, and that is there. Wait, let's just formulate it this way. I don't know what you have in mind, Michael, but maybe you're saying what I'm going to say, and if not, then you should say what I'm going to say. No, just kidding. What I mean to say is the following. There are two variables here. There's one variable called kapara, and there's another variable called mitzvah. And initially, the Gemara thinks that they're haba atalia, they're interdependent. And therefore, if you're going to tell me that he fulfilled his, that he cannot fulfill his mitzvah with the second aguda, I don't understand why he fulfilled his mitzvah with the first one. In other words, what we're trying to accomplish, this is the goal, this is the objective of making sense out of Rava. Our goal is to say A and not A at the same time. Meaning to maintain that with the hashava of the first aguda, he accomplished something, and yet with regard to the second aguda, insofar as it's not gzela, he cannot accomplish anything.
Right.
And that's inconsistent, because why would he accomplish anything with the first aguda, and at the same time he cannot accomplish anything with the second aguda? Maishna aguda achas, maishna shteh, aguda aleph, right? We'll call it item number one, maishna aguda number two. So the Gemara, I think at this point, introduces a new element into the equation. And that is that the Chiyuv HaShava has to be understood not just in terms of mitzvah, but also in terms of a kapara. What do I mean? There are two elements. There's an element of mitzvah, there's an element of kapara. For example, what would be the classical area of halacha that's dedicated to kapara? Besides the mitzvah of tshuva itself, but I mean, what else is a mechaper? A karbon, correct? A karbon is a mechaper. In certain cases, right, we discussed this last week, a gazlan, if he goes too far, will only achieve his kapara with what? Which karban? Karban asham, right? That's the parasha in Vayikra Perek Hey called Asham Gzelos. There are other situations in which the gazlan could fulfill and achieve his kapara even without bringing a karban. In those scenarios where there's no karma necessary and the achievement of kapara is not contingent upon karma, then what will clinch that kapara? Oh, so now we have to take apart hashava and analyze it in two different categories. One category, as we say, is the dimension of mamon, a chiyuv mamon, and the other category is a chiyuv mitzvah. Now, this may surprise you, but which of the two elements is ma'akev, is absolutely indispensable with regard to kapara? Is it the chiyuv hashava v'taras mamon, or is it the chiyuv hashava as a mitzvah? The answer is the chiyuv hashava v'taras mamon. Why? Because you cannot be machaper for an avera until such time as the nigzal has his money back. In other words, what you need is a tikkun on the avera vis-a-vis the nigzal. In other words, the machayev of kapara here is the aveira that you did to him. Forget about your mitzvah for one moment. You know, you may have other elements and obligations that you have to do in terms of filling your mitzvah. But that's not relevant to kapara. What's relevant to kapara is what did you do to him, namely, how did you cause a loss to the nigzal? If you could fix up that loss in terms of dollars and cents, then you can achieve kapara. You may not have fulfilled your mitzvah. So the Gemara says that Rava now is saying two different halachas. He's saying one halacha in terms of kapara, and that depends upon the chiyuv mamon. Which part of the pasuk is now going to be critical in Ve'eshiv is like Zeilah Shagosel to achieve that kapara and fulfill your chiyuv mamon? No one's with me on this. Did I lose everybody in the room? You're all lost? No? Nobody's following. Okay, again. Let me try this again. It says in the pasuk, Ve'heshiv es ha'gzela, and then it says Asher Gozal. The end of the pasuk, the Asher Gozal, is referring to the Chiyuv Mamon. The Chiyuv Mamon is set in stone at what moment? At the moment of Asher Gozal, correct? And that is the Chiyuv Mamon that the Gozlan has to whom? To the Nigzal. Once he fulfills that Chiyuv Mamon, and only when he fulfills that Chiyuv Mamon of Asher Gozal, through that Hashava he can achieve Kapara, because his Kapara is for the Avera, for the Hefseh that he caused the Nigzal. So once he squares with the Nigzal, let's say in the case of the Agudos, he returns both Agudos, because he stole two Agudos. So as a Chiyuv Mamon, there's no doubt that he has to return the second Agudo. He's already achieved his Chiyuv Kapara. But let's go back to the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about hashava not b'toras machaper, not to undo the hefseh that he caused to the nigzal, and not as a fulfillment of his chiyuv mamon, but rather as a mitzvah. That's Rava's chiddush. That the first part of the pasuk is talking and is addressing the mitzvah, and what's the condition for hashava as a mitzvah? What's the word in the pasuk? Help me. Yeah, you're right, but it has to be a Shem Prudah. But what's the Gzela? Says Rava, Gzela ain't kan Hashav ain't kan. Meaning, although he no doubt has to return the second Aguda because he stole the second Aguda, and the Chiv of Hashav and Bitar's Chiv Mamon is set in stone by what? By the Maisa, the Shasa Gzela, Maisa Gzela. But nevertheless, when he returns the second Aguda, that Maisa is not defined as a Maisa Mitzvah. Because Hashavah v'toras Maisa Mitzvah requires Gzela. Hashavah ha'Gzela. Michael?
When he's returned both, that's the Mitzvah as well. Isn't it?
I think not. I'll tell you why. Because what happens is, he does two Maisa Hashavahs. Those two Maisa Hashavahs, are they mitztarev together? So Rava's postulation is, his postulate is, it depends. If you're talking about a chiyuv hashava b'toras momon, then for sure it's mitztarev. Correct, like the Gemara says, in again, getting back to Masechet Makos again, in Eidim Zomimim, they have to pay kasher zomim, so each aid pays his percentage. So if they're two Eidim, each aid pays 50%. If they're three Eidim, each pays a third. That's as far as Dinei, that's as far as Dine Mamon is concerned. As Hashavas B'Toras Mamon, we can be Mitzarif together, each aid. Each aid gives half or a third, whatever the case may be. We add that all together and we put it into the bank account of the Nidon, and he's been repaid. So from that perspective, we could be Mitzarif, the first Hashava, the second Hashava. Like, for example, the Gemara asks in Kiddushin, if a man is Mekadish and Isha with a Dinar, which is 100 Zuz, and he counts out each Zuz. Right? So the question is, are we mitzaref all the zuzim together and we see it as one single maisa kedushin, or do we say no? Each zuz is a separate maisa. And then Afkamina is going to be, can he be chozer bo before he gives the very last zuz, and he gets, you know, he gave a 99 zuz and he's about to give it 100 zuz, the Gemara has the suffix, can he now decide, I don't want to marry you? So if we see it all as one Maisa Kedushin that's comprised of many different actions and we mitzarif them together into one mana, which is 100 zuz, then until he fulfills and completes his Maisa Kedushin, he can always be Chozer Bo. But if we see that the Maisa Kedushin is already complete, once he gives the first zuz, the 99 zuz, the balance is only a separate chov, then the kedushin is chal with the first zuz, and that's irreversible. And then he has to return, he has to pay her up 99 zuz as a chov, which he accepted a part of himself. But that chov is not part of the ma'aser kedushin. So very often, the Gemara, the sugyas hashas, have to decide whether or not we can be mitzaref different parts of ma'aser mamon. And basically the rule is as follows, that if you're talking about the receiving of the mamon in order to replace that mamon, then from the perspective of the recipient, it doesn't matter how many different maisim were done, at the end of the day he received that, what we call sahakol, that total value. And that's a tziruf that we can do as far as mamon is concerned. But if we're talking about the person who does the action, in order for him to fulfill his obligation, then there's no din of tziruf. Then the mice has to be done as one mice hashava. And therefore, Rava says the following. Did he fulfill his hashava when he gives one aguda and then a second aguda? Or did he not fulfill his hashava? And what's Rava's answer? There's no one flat answer. You have to apply the rule of relativity. Relative to the chiyuv hashava for the nigzal, that the nigzal has to receive a full pruta's worth, so he gave him a full pruta's worth. What difference does it make if he did it in one maisa or he did it in two maisa? As long as the money goes into the bank of the nigzal, he's been repaid, and there's a fulfillment of the chiyuv hashava b'toras what? Chiyuv mamon. However, in terms of the maisa gavra, to fulfill his mitzvah of hashava, here Rava says, what's he left with? He's left with something in his hands that's less than Gzela, and if it's less than Gzela, then he cannot fulfill his mitzvah hashav. Now here in the footnote, he says that there's a long discussion here in the Rishonim as to whether or not we can compel him to cough up the second aguda because of the principle called kofin ala mitzvahs. Are you with me on that? No, this is a general principle of kofin ala mitzvahs. But the Ravid points out that forget about kofin ala mitzvahs. I don't need to invoke the principle of kofin ala mitzvahs. I can force him to cough up the second aguda b'toras chiyuv mamon. So you want to know, does the halach of kofin ala mitzvahs apply to the mitzvah of hashavas aveda? And that's a very nice question. But it's irrelevant if he hasn't yet fulfilled his chovas mamon. So the Ravid says that the reason why the Rishonim had a suffix about this is because there are two dinim of kfir. When is a chiyuv mamon? The din of kfir means that we can confiscate his property in order to return it to its rightful owner. That's called, in the language of the Shas, bezdin yardin l'nechasov. Why? Because when a person has a monetary debt, he also has what's called a shibud mamon, and therefore we can confiscate his possessions in lieu of that chiyuv mamon. However, in kofin ala mitzvahs, it goes way beyond that. Kofin ala mitzvahs means that we can beat him blue in the face until he fulfills his mitzvah. That's a physical corporeal kfir. So the Ravid wants to assume that when the Rishonim have a suffix here, whether the Bezdin can be kofa or not, they're not talking about confiscating his property. For sure we're going to confiscate his property. But let's say, for example, he has no property, whatever the case may be. Can we be kofa on him to fulfill the mitzvah b'toras kofin ala mitzvahs? That's a much more far-reaching kind of kfir. And that depends upon whether or not he could fulfill his chiyuv hashav on the second aguda. All we can compel him to do at this point is to return that second aguda. B'toras chiyuv mamon, if the aguda is there in its be'en, then we'll remove that aguda and replace it and return it to the nigzal. But let's say the aguda's gone up in smoke. Well, we'll wait for the opportune moment to confiscate his possessions. What's that called again? Kofin means yardin, bezdin l'nechasov. That's the Torah's chiyuv mamon. Oh, but can we go a step further? And in order to compel him to fulfill his chiyuv mitzvah, we're going to be applying the rule of kofin ala mitzvahs, and therefore we can apply even a corporeal physical punishment for the mitzvah. That is what the Rishonim vacillate about. Rabbosai, let me ask you a question. I'm just curious, if you don't mind. A man sends his son to yeshiva and refuses to pay tuition. Can we beat him blue in the face? Or can we confiscate his possessions in order to force the in order to force him that the yeshiva can get paid for it?
How old is his son?
Let's say his son is 5 years old. No, just in that case, I'll give you that case. So it's unbelievable. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, writes in Shulchan Aruch that if he refuses to pay tuition, Bez din yard de l'nechasa, they'll confiscate his possessions.
How can they do that? Because you get a lot of big start.
The Gaon says that in this case, not only does he have a chiv mitzvah, but he also has a chiv mamon. Okay, fine. Then the Gaon asks the following question. You ready for this one? A man refuses to give tzedakah, and he has the wherewithal to give tzedakah. What do you think the Gaon's going to say in that case? Can we confiscate his possessions?
No.
Yes. The Gaon says that we can confiscate his possessions in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah.
Up to how much? 10%.
Whatever it is. I mean, there are different dinim, and you know, for that you have to be a bucky and hilchus tzedakah. But the din of Yardin L'Nechasa for Tzedakah is mind-boggling, because what it means is that the Gaon understood that if I have the wherewithal to give Tzedakah and I'm obligated to do so, it's not just a mitzvah, but it's also a Chiv Mammon. If it wasn't a Chiv Mammon, then Bezdin cannot possibly confiscate my possessions. And the Nafka Mina says the Gaon is Bizman HaZeh, because Bizman HaZeh, we don't have corporeal... I mean, I know of one neighborhood in Brooklyn where they do, but you get in deep trouble if you get caught for it. But with the exception of that neighborhood, we don't apply corporeal punishment to force a person to do mitzvahs, because we live in a democratic society. I'm being a little facetious, but that's the way it is. However, the halacha of Bez Din Yardin Nechasim and Achiv Mammon applies today exactly as it did then. I mean, you have to know who has the status of Bez Din and so forth, but Kofin Al Mammon. So the Gaon says that if a person refuses to give tzedakah when he has the wherewithal to do so, even though we can't physically compel him to give tzedakah because the halach of kofin al mitzvahs doesn't apply today, but nevertheless the halach of Bez Din Yardin L'Nechasav, which means that we can confiscate his possessions, we can freeze his bank account to make sure that he gives tzedakah, applies even today. Isn't that mind-boggling? So if you're talking about paying tuition for yeshiva, you know, then I can accept the Gaon, because maybe there's a signed contract, or even if they didn't sign a contract with the yeshiva has a certain tuition and they have to pay that tuition, it's a chiv mamon. But tzedakah, why is tzedakah chiv mamon? Comes on the Gaon, he says that the parish of tzedakah generates two different chivim, a chiv mamon and a chiv mitzvah. Why do I mention this to you? Because it's very similar to what Rav is saying now about Ve'eshiv Esagzela Asher Gazal. As far as the Chiyuv Mammon is concerned, in order to achieve Kapara and rectify what, you know, the stolen money that he took, that's in the Pasuk of Asher Gazal. It's irrelevant to whether or not what's sitting on his table now is stolen goods that's worth a pruta or not worth a pruta. It was worth a pruta at the time of Asher Gazal, and that's when it gets frozen in stone, it gets engraved in stone, that's called Kishas Hagzela. But as far as the Chiv Mitzvah is concerned, said Rava, that depends upon what's sitting on his table now, and if it's not Hagzela, then he cannot fulfill a mitzvah of Hashavas Hagzela. Rabosai, the next sugya will require about 10 hours of work in preparation, so I'm just going to skip it. Maybe Hashem Yoyer Einenu, and we'll find the 10 hours to prepare this sugya. You have to know half of Taros in order to understand that sugya. But now I want to learn with you a sugya about Giluach Nazir. Okay, actually the sugya of Giluach Nazir is first. Oh, I switched around the order. So the Tuma V'Tara sugya we'll skip, but we don't have to skip it yet because we're not up to it yet. So we'll postpone the Paranias of having to skip a sugya, which I don't like to do. But in this case, I remember we were learning in the Rav Shia a Masechta in the Zikin, and then all of a sudden the Gemara quoted a halacha in Tumas Mess, and you had to know half of Olos. So I remember the Rav apologized to us, and he said, "I'm a little bit rusty in Olos, you know." Okay, so let's see where are we up to? Omar Rav. So let's just give a little bit of background. A Nazir, at the conclusion of his Nazirus, which means one of two things, either he fulfilled and implemented his whole Nazirus, let's say he did the whole 30 days, or he became Tameh in the middle and he has to start all over again. So he's Messiah, his first Nazirus, and now he starts a new Nazirus, and now he has a mitzvah called Giluach Rosho. So I'll read to you the Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Bamidbar Perek Vav, in Parshas Noso. It says, V'chiyomus meis ola v'fesa, v'fesa pisom, v'time rosh nizro, he was metame as nizirus, is then, the Pasuk says, v'gilach rosho b'yom taharoso, and he goes through a process of purification, and that culminates v'yom ha-shvi, after 7 days, and then he fulfills the mitzvah of Yigel Chenu, and he does Giluach on his head. Okay. Now, we want to emphasize two words in this Pasuk. One I call the Maisa, and one is the Cheftza. The Gilach, that refers to what? The Maisa. And Rosho refers to the Cheftza. Now, as far as Rosho is concerned, the Shiur, the minimum Shiur of Rosho, to obligate and generate a chiyuv mitzvahs giluach, is 2 saros. As far as giluach is concerned, which is the maisa, the Gemara here is going to raise the possibility and then immediately reject it, that the same shear, the same minimum requirement of 2 saros should apply even as far as the giluach is concerned. Then the Gemara rejects it, and the Gemara says, no, as far as Rosho is concerned, we need 2 saros. But as far as the actual implementation of the Gilach, 1 seir is enough. And then Afkamina is going to be, if one of those 2 saros falls off his head, without a Maisa Giluach, he's left with only 1 seir. So the Mechayev is set in stone because he had Rosho. Why did he have Rosho? Because he had 2 saros. But now one of those 2 saros falls off, and we're ready for what I call Shlav Bet, the second level, seventh stage, of the Maisa V'Gilach. Now we can only cut off 1 hair, because in the interim period, 1 hair fell out. So that's the subject of this Gemara. V'Amar Rava, Harei Amru, the Mishnah says in Masechta Negayim, Nazir She'Gilach, he starts cutting his hair. Vishir shtei saros, and he hasn't yet cut the last 2 hairs. So Rav Moshe, what does he have now on his head? Rosho, correct? In conceptual terms, Rosho, meaning the Cheftza Mechayev. He's Chayev in Giluach. Okay, what we're going to have to ask is, was he Mechayev Giluach in the first 22,000 Seiros he took? But we're not ready for that question yet. What we're focused on is, does he have a chiyuv giluach now to be mekayim v'gilach as Rosho, even though he already took off 99.9% of the hairs off his head, but he's still left with 2 saros. 2 saros constitute Rosho, and the pasuk v'gilach as Rosho now goes into effect. The Gemara says, but what about the first X number of saros? Lo asav lo klum, because again, there are 2 dinim here. There's 1 din that the Mechayev is Rosho, and that we have. But there's another din that V'gilach requires Rosho legamre. In other words, V'gilach is not just a Maisa Giluach, but there's also the result of the Maisa, and that has to be that the Rosh is Megulach. And the Gemara thinks that if there's still Rosho, then it's not Megulach. It would be a tarti de sasri to say on the one hand that he has fulfilled his mitzvah of Giluach, and at the other hand says he still has Rosho, because Rosho means he's chayav in Giluach. So the very fact that he left out 2 saros, which is a Rosho that generates a chiyuv in Giluach, means that he has not fulfilled his mitzvah of Giluach. So again, Rabosai, Giluach means 2 things. Number 1, it means a Maisa Giluach, whatever constitutes a Maisa Giluach, and that's what the Gemara is going to analyze now. But number 2, it also means that Rosho Megulach, in such a way that he has a Rosh Megulach. In other words, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah without making sure, like for example, I might be able to put up a maka on my roof, but if the roof is not equipped with a maka, let's say for example the maka is very wishy-washy, then the mitzvah is not complete. I did a Maisa, but nevertheless, I need also the result of the Maisa. The result of the Maisa is that the bias has to be equipped with what? With a complete... Like, I'll give you another example. There's one Mandiomer in the Gemara that says, in Hanukkah, Hadlaka Loas of Mitzvah. What's the case? The case is he lit a nair and then it went out. So the Gemara says, according to one Mandiomer, we don't paskel like that, he's not Yotze. Why? Because the bias has to be equipped with an nair dolk. And if the candle went out, alright, he did a Maisa Hadlaka. So, for example, according to the Mandiomer who says Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah was Yotze and Kofsa Ein Zokkah, he doesn't have to rekindle it. But according to one Mandiomer, no. The Maisa Hadlaka is not enough. He has to guarantee that the bias is equipped for at least a half hour with an air dolk. So therefore, if it went out, he has to light it again. You follow me? So here too, in the case of Giluch, I can do a Maisa Giluch, but if there's still Rosho, which means there's still Saros al Rosho, which means two Saros, then if the Rosh is not Megulach, then Lo Yotza Yedei Mitzvah Giluch, even though he implemented a Maisa Giluch. Now, was the Maisa Giluach implemented on every single Seir individually or on every pair of Saros? That I don't know. What is the minimum shear of the Maisa Giluach? I don't know. Is it two Saros or one Seir? And then again, the Nafkamina is going to be, if he's got two Saros on his head, one of which falls off. So has he fulfilled his mitzvah with the Maisa Giluach on one Seir or not? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Boy, Rava. Rava wants to know the following. Gilach. Okay, so he cut off all the hairs of his head, leaving two hairs on his head. What did he do now? Gilach achas. He's got two saras on his head, and he cut one of them. Vinoshra achas, and the other one fell off. Mahu. Has he fulfilled his mitzvah of giluach, or has he not fulfilled his mitzvah of giluach? In other words, is a Maisa Giluch achieved with cutting one hair? Again, he can't be left with Rosho. He's got to be Megula. But in this case, it is Megula. With the help of what? I don't know. What causes a hair to fall out? I don't know. Like, maybe science still doesn't know the answer to that question.
Worry.
Well, not to create a Maisa Giluch. Oh, you talk about the first 22,000 Seiros. Again, this goes back to what we discussed before, that now he's in a situation of a Rosho, because he has two Saros, and now a Chiv Giluach emerges. What he did before is put in the back shelf. That's not mitztarif to a Maisa Giluach. Now he needs a Maisa Giluach of what? One Seir or two Saros? Now you'll ask me, it doesn't... Either way, he's not Yotzi's mitzvah until he gets rid of the two saros. But the nafkamina is going to be if one of the saros falls out on its own.
But it fall out first or second?
Right now, we're talking about a case where it fell out second, correct? And later on, we're going to talk about a case where it fell out first. Right? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Gilach achas v'noshra achas.
When you're shaving your hair, all the time you're shaving, each hair is coming out one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. Right? So when he shaved that, two hairs, when he shaved that one hair off, he's done his mitzvah because there's only one hair left.
Yeah, but that's only if he continued. If he continued with his
mitzvah, how much gap?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what the shear of hefsek is. I think, right. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it's kedein ligmar is kulo. Like, for example, let's say for the middle of Hallel, I take a break. You know, and nobody here in the room would ever do such a thing except for me, because I'm chashed on this. So in the middle of Hallel, I don't know, I got fatracht, and all of a sudden I open up a sefer and I start learning, which is a nice thing to do, but it's not appropriate for the middle of Hallel. So the question is, can I complete my mitzvah of Hallel? And the Gemara says, depends. If I waited a long enough time that I could have read the Hallel from beginning to end, that, or Megillah also has a similar halacha, Tefillah also has a similar halacha, Shmoneh Esrei. So I don't know exactly what the shear of Kedei Giluach Rosho is concerned. I don't know. But if he waited whatever that shear is, and now we have a new chiyuv that's engendered by Rosho, he needs a Maisa Giluach. So Rava wants to know, can he achieve his Maisa Giluach by removing one single hair? You'll ask me the question, but he's got to make it. He's got to make his head Megulach, and he still has one other hair. Nature took care of that. but it's not part of his Maisa Giluah. So has he fulfilled his Maisa Giluah? So when I first learned this Gemara, I didn't understand, what is the Gemara talking about here? My nafkemina. Like, who cares? You want to know where that Kodesh Baruch is going to give him Schar and Shamayim? I never saw a Sugya Shas where the Gemara goes back and forth to try to figure out what his brownie points are up in Shamayim.
Maybe it's Ma'akev.
No, I'm saying, let's assume it is Ma'akev. Who cares?
He's bald. But he can't bring his other korbanot.
So what does he do?
So he's stuck.
So let me just add one thing, Zev. I mean, we're saying the same thing, but I'm going to say it better than you, I think. What he has to do is he has to wait until his hair grows back again and then implement another Giluah. Do you follow? The fact that now he has no hair on his head does not alleviate him from the mitzvah of Giluah. It's going to be a long process. I don't know how long it'll take him for his hair to grow back. Now, you'll ask me, what happens if his hair never grows back?
How long is that?
So the South Africans would say, shame. That's how they use the word shame. I don't know. Amalei Rav Acham Idiftel Ravina. The Gemara says the whole premise of Rava makes no sense. Nazir Gilach Achas Kami Boilei LeRava. Does Rava believe that when the Torah says Vegilach, it excludes Achas? Was that a suffix in Rava's mind? Why can't Vegilach mean Achas? All he has to do is be Megaleach one. And Giluach of one Seir, says the Gemara, clearly is a Maisa Giluach. This, by the way, reminds me of a great suffix of Rav Gedalia Felder, if you ever heard of him, Zichron Levracha. He wants to know in Ksivas Shtei Osios, the Shir for Ksiva, Melechus Ksiva, is two Osios. He wants to know, is the Torah saying that if you only write one Os, that's not even a Maisa Ksiva? Or is the Torah saying it's a Maisa Ksiva, but you felt you're lacking, you're missing the shir, the chashivas of a Ksiva? And he goes back and forth as to whether the principle of chatzi shir, osim in a Torah, applies to Ksiva. So here too, if you want to say that the Torah requires that you cut off all the hairs on your head, well, he didn't cover all these two hairs that were left on his head, because one of them fell out naturally. But nevertheless, he did a Maisa Giluach on one hair. And the Gemara insists that a Maisa Giluach on one hair is called a Maisa Giluach. Again, I wouldn't jump to conclusions about writing one os on Shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara says we have to rewrite the text here. We have to reformulate the suffix of Rava. It can't be that Rava was ignorant of this principle that you can be Megaleach one hair. Amalei lo tzricha. No, let's switch around the order. What happened here? Nashra achas mehen. First, a hair fell out of his head. Vigilach achas, he's left with one hair on his head, and he's megaleach that one hair. Now, what would you say without looking at the Gemara? Again, I always like to play this game with you, but you have to abide by the rules, otherwise it's not a game. Without looking, you already looked. Okay, so it's too late. But what would be your intuitive answer to this question?
He's stuck.
No, I would say, did anybody want to be on my team here?
It's
Michael?
It's fine.
Yeah, why?
I'd say stuck.
Wait, before, Zev, you'll go second if it's okay. Let's let Michael go first, right? Because his beard is longer than yours. I'm just kidding. So, Michael, why would you say that he's fulfilled his mitzvah? What did the Gemara just establish?
Because his hair is bald and he's done the show.
Correct. The Maisa Giluach only requires what? One seah. And the tnai, the goal in the heftah is that he should be megulach. And if that be the case, when the first hair falls out, now he cuts off the second hair, is mimarashach, he's fulfilled both his obligations. In terms of maisa giluach, he took off one hair, and the Gemara assumes achas is fine. In terms of making himself bald, well, he was the one who made himself bald. He's got no hair on his head. So why does Rav have a suffix?
Well, because going in and going out are not the same thing.
I don't know what you mean by that. What element should we add to the equation, Zev?
The problem is, is there a Maisa Giluach?
No. Forget about Maisa Giluach. He has a Maisa Giluach on one hair. What element do we have to add to this equation here, Rabbi Osai? What do you say, Mike? What do you say?
Rosho.
Well, yeah, Mitch is right, Rosho, but Rosho, yeah, I'm trying to squeeze out a hair from you and I'm not succeeding. I was there, I never was good as a barber. Zman, I'll say, why is the time factor here very critical? Mitch, now say what you want to say. What is the critical moment of time that has to be added into this equation? There are actually two moments of time, and we seem to be ignoring one of those two. One moment of time is what we call the machayev. The other moment of time is the kiyum, the kiyum isa mitzvah. So what's the moment of machayev? What's that called? I'll read to you the pasuk. It says, V'gilach es rosho. Where is the machayev?
Beisaros.
No. I'm giving you two choices here, Alan. Okay. You can add a third choice, but after I finish the shiur.
Okay.
Here are your two choices. It says V'gilach, and it says Rosho. Okay, which is the Machayev? The moment of the Machayev would be determined by what? Which word?
Rosho.
Rosho is the Machayev. Right. And Rosho requires what?
Shtei
Saros. Okay. Then we have another moment of time that's critical, and that's called V'gilach. V'gilach refers to the Maisa Kiyuma mitzvah, the maisa of implementing the mitzvah by doing the act of giluach. So we have two critical time periods. Now, if for example, he did the giluach on one seder in the first case before the neshira, then we have both factors. Why? Because it was rosho, insofar as he had two saros, and that machayev led to the kiyuma mitzvah of what? Of giluach seder achas. Correct? So we have both elements. In other words, at the moment of the Maisa Giluach, there was a Machayev of Rosho. But not so in the second variable of Rova. Because now what happened first? There was the Shira, correct? If there was the Shira first, what is he left with?
No Rosho.
He's left without Rosho. He doesn't have, because the minimum of Rosho is what? Is two Saros. Now the question is, can we be Mitzarev the Rosho before the Neshira, together with the Maisa Giluach after the Neshira? That's the suffix of Rava. But now I'll present the what you were saying before, Zev, why it would not qualify as a Kiyuma Mitzvah. I cannot fulfill a mitzvah without a Machayev. You can't tell me that there once was a Machayev. Like, for example, the Beged had four kanfis. Correct? Now it has only three kanfis. Well, somebody added a fifth. And now I put on tzitzis. That's ridiculous. Because if it's only three or if it's five, there's no chiyuv tzitzis. You can't fulfill a mitzvah without a chiyuv ha-mitzvah. You can't tell me, well, once upon a time, if I take a time machine back in time, there was a machayev. So one side of Rava's suffix, which would be the second side, the old Dilma, is he's going to insist, you cannot postulate a kiyuma mitzvah over here. What do you mean he's mekayim his mitzvah? Let him grow his hair. Why? Because since the old mechayev of Rosho is gone, and why is it gone? Because since the neshira took place, he's left with one seir, he doesn't have Rosho. He's like, how can he implement a mitzvah without a mechayev? What's the first side in Rava? So the Gemara says, "Mi amrinon." Here's the first side. This is what I consider the more challenging side. The Gemara says, "You know what? He is mekayim his mitzvah of giluach. Why? Hashtamias haleka shiur." Rabbi, I'm going to skip this for just a second because the words of the Gemara are murder here. It's just total ambiguity. Again, you have the article, so you're ahead of me. But I'm racking my brains here without Dr. A over here. So let's just see the second side because that makes life a little easier for me. It's more intuitive. He says, "O Dilma, halav giluachu." Why? Because what's the critical moment of giluach? Right? No, I'm saying in this particular scenario, what was the critical moment of the Maisa Giluach? It was before Neshira or after Neshira? It was after Neshira. So already at the time of the Maisa Giluach, Lav Giluach, Udmikara Hashayar Shtei Saros, true that initially there was two Saros, but Hashta Ki Giluach, now when he implements the Maisa Giluach, Lo Havi Shtei Saros. Isn't that beautiful? Let's read it again. I mean, sometimes I get such hagod reading it into the Gemara. The Gemara says the following: O Dilma halav giluach, he did not fulfill his mitzvah of giluach. Why? To me, kara, although at time T1, when he took his break from the 22,000 saros to the last two, hashir shtei saros, and therefore what? What is he left with now?
Mechayev.
Rosh, okay. Okay, I'm looking for the word in the Torah. Rosh, the Mechayev. But nevertheless, Hashta ki gilach, now when he goes to Hedunigash, lasot et maisa mitzvah, okay? Lafil ta mitzvah, to do the maisa mitzvah, lo tzil to lefoal, lo havi shtei saris. Is therefore, if there's lo shtei saris, what's gone?
Rosho.
And there's no Mechayev. If there's no Mechayev, then there can't be a kiyum of mitzvah without a Mechayev. Now we have to go back to the first time, which again, I need a lot of siyata d'shmaya here, because I don't understand how to read this into the first time. Mi amrinon, should we say, hashta mias, holeka shiur, just one second. Hashta mias, holeka shiur, that should lead me to the second conclusion. Just give me 1 second and then the floor is yours. I just want to see if I can. What does the Gemara say? Hashtamiyas leka shir? Hashtamiyas leka shir. Hashtamiyas leka shir. There was a mice in the yard. And since there was a mice in the yard, I should be a lecker.
Left.
Yeah, what do you want to say? I'm drawing a blank here.
No.
I don't know your name.
Joel?
Yes. Oh, Joel. Good. I like the name Joel because the other Joel who sits in that seat is now in Detroit. So you're feeling it's good. I feel better. You're not an eye doctor, are you? That would have been a perfect replacement. Yeah. Go ahead, Joel. What do you say?
That after the fact, there's no sheer airlock. There's nothing.
He means after... After he removes the last sayer, you mean? Is that what the Gemara is referring to?
I think after
the what's the word hashta here? Joel, you're saying hashta mia after he removes the second hair. The last hair.
After the hair fell out.
I think after the hair
right.
fell out.
He's got you think it's after the Nishira?
It must be.
Hashta mia soleka shir. Just let's figure that out. But I don't know if I'm happy with either way.
It's like the Torah wants to say that we can't remove from him his opportunity to do this mitzvah just because he only has one hero. Lakershire, but so on.
Sort of like onus rachman apatri, the circumstances beyond his control.
Right, so he's mekayim, but just by doing the one hair, it's left. Because at the end of the day, his maisa removed all the hairs from his head.
All right. I don't know. I like the second side a lot better. What can I tell you? I'm so much more comfortable.
What if he had a nazir only had
one hair? Now, let's see if we could read. What do you say, Vince?
What if he had a nazir and only had one hair? So you say he can never, and he
can't grow any more hairs. I feel badly for him, but he's not going to be able to. I would say that not that he, I wouldn't say onus rachman apatri in such case. I would say that he doesn't have a mechayev.
Right.
You follow the difference, you know, like for example, rachman litzlan, a person doesn't have arms. So what would you say? Would you say that he's chayev in tefillin? But onus rachman apatri, he doesn't have any arms, so he can't fulfill his mitzvah. Would you say he's not even chayev in tefillin? I would say he's not even chayev in tefillin. That's the yad vayulut al tefav. What does it say there? Ukshatim liyosa yadecha. The yadecha is the mechayev. If he doesn't have a yad, then there's no chiyuv. It's not pshat that he can't fulfill the mitzvah.
So then, if one falls out, then that's the same case, isn't it? If one falls out, he's only got one.
Well, that's the second side. Because there's no Rosho, and if there's no Rosho, then there's no Mechayev, and therefore there's no Kiyum, because he can't have a Kiyum without a Chiyuv. I'm thinking out loud here that the Gemara in the first side thinks that you can have a Kiyum without a Chiyuv. I mean, that undermines a lot of what I've been trained to believe all my life. But let's just think if there could be any meaning to that.
Could you have a Kiyum without a Chiyuv?
Maybe the Gemara means like this in the first side, that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Giluach Nazir. One is the Maisa mitzvah, and one is the Totsas HaMitzvah. So I thought, I'm not blaming anyone but myself, that the Totsas HaMitzvah, meaning that the Rosh should be Meguach, that's a Tanai, that's a separate condition. Maybe the Gemara thinks in the first tzad, no, it's not a separate condition. That is the mitzvah. That defines the mitzvah itself. Obviously, you're going to need a maisa, but if you have A plus B, then B, as I'll explain in a minute, is integrated into the mitzvah itself. What's A and what's B? A is going to be a maisa giluach, and B is going to be rosho meguach.
That's why I asked about the
one-haired nuzzer. Just 1 second. Okay, we'll get back to your case of one-haired. I just want to see if I can read this into the Gemara. Hashta bias oleka shir. It's a stretch. But at least on a conceptual level, maybe what the Gemara means is that I can still have a mitzvah. And why do I have a mitzvah? Because the totsas ha-mitzvah, you know, the... How do you say the end result? What's that phrase that we say? You know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, saying that at the end of the day he is Magula. Now, admittedly, his situation of being Magula was a little bit of a cheap way of getting away with it. You know, he actually utilizes the help of nature here.
Then the Gemara should use a greater chiddush. Then all his hair fell out.
Yeah,
and he didn't cut any hair.
Right. What would be if all his hair fell out? Right. So I don't know. You have to have some minimum maisa giluach in order to achieve someone. Here, at least he has one seer. So what we're going to do is we're going to tzaref the one seer as a maisa giluach together with the you know, with somehow the Nishira is mitzuref to the Maisa Gilu. So Hadar Pashta, because we have to go to Mincha soon. And what's Hadar Pashta? He says, Seyar Enkan, V'giluach Enkan. What does this mean? He says, yeah, he's basically stuck. He cannot fulfill this mitzvah of Giluach because there's no possibility of Giluach. There's no possibility of Giluach because there's only one Seir here. And when the Torah says the mitzvah of Giluach Seir, it refers to two Saros. Ah, okay, so we'll stop here. So, you know, with your help, Rabbi Osai, I didn't have to skip anything.
So, you should grow his hair first.
Is this working?
Yes, I did. I didn't have blood. See, I think there's two young and young. Yeah, so at least.